Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 461st edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Bet Rivers. Claim your risk-free bet of up to $500 over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/betrivers. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/betrivers. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to episode 461 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm scrolling to find out who I'm dedicating this to. Get good, McRacked. Get good, McRacked. Get good, McRacked. Of course, obviously him, who drives for a living and listened to us 5,634 minutes last year. That's a lot of content. And he's a top 0.5% fan of ours. So he's at the tippy top. This goes out to him, not to Dredney, the Taylor Swift Lord fan who only listened to it. He's only like top 22% or something. So, and he admits he doesn't listen to the non-UFC episodes. So this does not go out to him. I'm roasting him on the, in the Discord and on the podcast now, but it's all in fun. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm having fun. I don't know if he is. 461. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox. I don't even know if I introduced myself last episode. No one cares about me. They only care about what my co-host has to say. We even had a comment like that saying, if in doubt, if we disagree on our picks, this person always goes with Gumby. So we'll see. We disagreed a lot last episode. We'll see how it is this episode. This is the second half of our UFC on ESPN Dariush versus Sarukian episode, aka UFC Austin here in Austin, Texas. Joe Rogan's backyard. I'm sure he has a big enough place that they could be fighting at his house. We're going to do the main card today. As yesterday, not a lot of consensus. So you got both sides of the arguments for both of the fights, but I'm arguing with myself about a lot of my picks. So it's even more than usual. It was a tough card for me to pick fights for. Let's bring in, the Gumby man, Daniel Gumby Vreeland, and we'll, talk about the main card now, shall we?
Do you think we'll have anything in common on this one? Do you feel good about this one?
Let me see how good I feel about my picks. I feel good. There's some tight ones. So I'm not sure. There's six fights. I think we're going to agree on, I would say, at least half of them. Guessing four. We're going to agree on four of them. What do you think of that?
Four. Okay. That's a better rate than we had on our last show. So.
Yeah. Is the main card similar to the prelims for you in your handicapping this card, or was it different for you?
A little bit less dog heavy on the main card, I would say. A little bit less.
But still, you knew who you were picking? Did you flip-flop in any picks at all?
I did not.
You often flip-flop with picks?
There's sometimes where I see it posted, and I think I said it on the before we did the prelim episode, is I was like, this feels like one of those cards where I'm like, oh, you know, you kind of can't bet that guy. He's looked really bad as of late. And then you look at who he's fighting and you're like,
yeah,
oh, but he could beat that guy. And like, I don't know. I kind of feel like there's a couple of them on here too.
Okay, cool. We didn't speak of hats last episode. John's going to be mad. I'm wearing the SGP hat, which you can get from the merch store, or you can win one from the merch store. If we end up in your Spotify Wrapped top podcasts, tweet it out, put it out on social media somewhere and tag us, let us know, and we will enter you in the draw. And a winner will get their choice of gear from our merch store. Okay, tell us about your hat, Gumby. You will not get a hat that Gumby has on now, though.
This is a Stockton Ports hat, which is a minor league A's. Actually, I think it was run by Dallas Braden. You remember Dallas Braden for a minute? And my favorite part of the hat is it's clearly like some kind of like angry looking sailor dude. And it looks like he's holding an oar, but the oar is actually a piece of asparagus. I don't know.
Why is it always food on these hats that you wear?
I don't know. I don't have any idea why he has a big spear of asparagus that he's holding, but it makes the hat about 30 times cooler as a result.
And he looks like a Ninja Turtle as well. So I'm
sure it's kind of like
your kids would enjoy that.
Like a Ninja
Turtle. Or a bad guy in the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, enjoy that.
What city is this again?
This is Stockton.
Stockton. Yeah. I should know the area code. I forgot already.
209.
Right. 209. Stockton. Yeah. All right, cool. I'm sure they've had Nate and Nick Diaz Day at the park, have they not?
I imagine they have, yeah.
if they were so lucky. No Diaz is on this card. Hate to say it for you people. We do have some changes from the original card we got. The poster still has Mr. Dan Hooker on it, but as a picture I put in our Discord a week or so ago, a ghastly picture I put in there will show he is he destroyed his arm and had to have surgery. So he is not fighting. Instead, we have Jalen Turner stepping in on short notice. We're also supposed to have Jared Cannonier versus Roman Dalidze. Cannonier tore his MCL. Apparently, crystals don't work, Gumby. And the bout was canceled.
Weird.
This card is going to be even better than it is. And then we were going to have Azamat Mirzakhanov. Act like I've never heard of him before, which is not true. He was supposed to fight Khalil Roundtree, the second, the junior, was supposed to take place as well. Mirzakhanov got pneumonia, pussy, and then put a so instead, Roundtree is going to get to murder Anthony Smith next week. So this was going to be this is still a good card. This was going to be a crazy good card if all those fights were on it.
Yeah, I do sort of wonder, like, did some of these fights get made because the other ones got canceled, though? Because sometimes the UFC will do that. And I think the reason why you see Khalil Roundtree versus Anthony Smith on next week is, A, Smith probably did need more time, but also that card next week is, like, badly needed a co-main event. So, like, sometimes they just shuffle things around for that reason.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. It is true. All right, let's jump right into her, shall we? Let's give you a pick right off the bat before we tell you about our sponsors. All of our lines are coming from our sponsor, Beth Rivers. I'll tell you more about them in a sec after we break down a middleweight fight, so you know it's going to be good. Punahiel Soriano versus Dustin Stoltzfus. Stoltzfus is 14-5, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 1-4 in the UFC. Lost his last fight via TKO. 1-0 on the Contender Series. Was regional champion. Used to fight up at light heavyweight. Also did a pro kickboxing. An inch of height, 3 inches of reach on Soriano. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.32 strikes per minute. Better grappling stats than Soriano, plus 240. Soriano, he's got a great nickname. You know his nickname, Dan?
Story time.
What is it?
Story time.
Oh, for real? That's right. I have Puna, because Puna is another one of his nicknames. Yes. He does have a good nickname. Excuse me. He's 9-3, Mr. Soriano. 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 3-3 in the UFC. 1-3 over his last 4, including losing his last fight via TKO. He's a year younger than Stoltzfus. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.18 strikes a minute. Minus 315. I guess I lead off the main card. Give me Soriano. Much better striker. Just a better fighter, period. Stoltzfus, as I like to say about fighters, not very good. So give me Puna here. I like his power. I like his just striking overall. And I always go with the striker. If in doubt, there's no way you can pick Stoltzfus here. Come on. Right? You are.
I'm going to pick Stoltzfus. Dude, like.
Zombie's going to.
What's Stoltzfus good at?
Grappling.
Just, like, he's a really good grappler, right? Like, he is a guy. I mean, like you mentioned, 1-0 on the Contender Series. Do you remember who he beat?
Of course not.
He beat Joe Pyfer. He picked up Joe Pyfer up over his head and slammed him on his arm, and Joe Pyfer's arm dislocated. Would he have continued to win that fight? I would definitely expect not to, being that Joe Piper is now main eventing in the UFC and Dustin Stolfus is hanging on by a thread. But he did pick up Joe Piper and slam him. And that alone tells you the type of wrestler we're dealing with here, right? Like, we're dealing with a guy who is actually a very good wrestler, who, whether he caught Joe Piper off balance one time or had Joe Piper on, like, who else is doing that to Joe Piper right now? Like, who in the middleweight division would you confidently say would pick up and slam Joe Piper? It's very few people. And when we're talking about Puno Soriano is quite bad at wrestling defense. Like, Nick Maximoff, who we've now talked about, like, you know, maybe being all right at wrestling, but not being particularly good at grappling, took him down 11 times in that fight. He did. His only win is the knockout of Dolce Lucky Ambula in his last four fights. And Dolce took him down a couple of times. And Dolce, while he has like a little bit of a judo background, like, isn't a guy out there taking people down all the time, right? Like, Dolce is a guy who's, first of all, very stocky. Definitely not the type of guy who has got cardio for days. And yeah, he starched him in the second round. To your point, he's a better striker. Stolzfus is tough, though. And I think in that Dwight Grant fight, he showed, first of all, he can take a punch. And second of all, even when he takes a punch, he's a dangerous wrestler. So yeah, I'm going to go with the grappling heavy game of Dustin Stolzfus to beat Puno Soriano here.
Soriano's 30% takedown defense doesn't impress you.
It does. No, it does. Actually, I didn't even know that was the number. That's worse than I thought it would be. But it's, yeah, that, I mean, further proves my point. Do you want a wrestler against the guy with 30% takedown defense? I do. Especially at, would you give me 2-1 on that one? Is Stolzfus 2-1?
I prefer a better fighter who's a better striker, but we shall see come Saturday what happens. As I said off the top, all these lines are brought to you by Bet Rivers, because we are brought to you today by Bet Rivers. Bet Rivers is available in over 14 states, plus Ontario, Canada, where I am, which is good news. Bet Rivers has some of the best live betting markets in the space. Their betting menu is second to none, including a ton of props. We'll give you some props that we like at the end of this here show. Depositing and withdrawing is super easy on Bet Rivers. Do you have a Bet Rivers play of the day, Gumby?
Yeah, take the Cowboys on Thursday night football. You know I love the Cowboys on Thursday night football. I think I saw -8.5. We'll go with the points. We'll say that they cover 8.5. They're playing the Seahawks.
There you go. Sign up using our link to get a risk-free bet up to $500. So there you go. Risk-free on the Cowboys pick. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/betrivers. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BETRIVERS. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, let's see if we can link up on any picks here. Lightweights, Clay Guida. Yes, he's still around, versus Joakim Silva. Guida is the carpenter, of course. He is 38 and 23. So this is fight 62 for him. 7 knockouts, 14 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 11 times. 18 and 17 in the UFC, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss over his last six fights. So he's due for a win, apparently. Used to fight down at featherweight, 1-0 in WEC. WEC never die. 1-1 in Strikeforce and was the champion there. 2003 was his pro MMA debut. He's a grappler. He's also a pro grappler. He also has better grappling stats than Silva. He's got an inch reach on him as well. He's been outstriking the UFC by 0.38 strikes a minute, and he's at +255. Neto BJJ, the greatest nickname around, is Silva's nickname. 12-4, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, 5-4 in the UFC, 1-3 over his last 4, including getting TKO'd in his last fight. 2-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Used fight at welterweight, 2010 pro MMA debut. Inch of height, 8 years younger than Guida. More active landing strikes than Guida is. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.08 strikes a minute. He's at -335, another wide line here. Go ahead.
Give me Guida.
Okay, we're agreeing. Guida's my crazy pick too.
Okay,
tell the people why.
I think you gotta pick Guida, right? Like, first of all, I'm ecstatic that you're picking Guida, that I don't have to sit here and defend Clay Guida to my grave like I was very much prepared to do, because A, love Clay Guida. Clay Guida's like one of my guys. But in addition to that too, like, what about what Joakim Silva has done in his last, I mean, you mentioned 1-3 in his last 4. He's 1-4 in his last 5, if you want to peel it back one more. He's not on a good run. And do you know when the last time this dude won a fight that he didn't knock his opponent out? Do you want to guess the year?
1987.
No, it was 2017. 2017, though. It's been Yeah, it's been 6 years since Joaquin Silva has beaten somebody by not knocking them out. And it was Reza Madadi. Remember Reza Madadi?
I do remember that name.
Yeah, that's the last person that Silva has beaten without knocking him out. Now, here's my question for you. Can you knock out Clay Guida? Is it possible to knock out Clay Guida? Because in his career, what has he fought? 152 times. He has two losses by knockout.
Yeah.
Twice this dude has been knocked out. And I don't imagine that Joaquin Silva is the third guy. It just doesn't feel like that's true. And if that's the case, like, can Silva keep, you know, and Silva's no spring chicken either, right? Like Guida, yeah. Everybody's talking about him getting old and slower or whatever. I don't know that he's gotten slower. His cardio has definitely not gotten worse. That dude has got cardio for absolute days. And Silva is no spring chicken either. He's 34 years old. He is slowing down a little bit in his own right. I worry about his cardio, especially up against a guy like Clay Guida. And Guida's got some wrestling. So, yeah, give me Clay Guida. I'm big on, you know, him and Dustin Stolzfus. Let's give me them both just being absolute grinders in these first two fights for me.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's the thing. He's going to grind out a win is what Guida's going to do. He's going to – third round is going to start, and he's going to still be bringing it to Silva. So, yep, Guida is the pick here for – a fantastic line. Here's a much closer fight, at least on paper. We're going up to welterweight. Sean Brady versus Kelvin Gastelum. Yes, Gastelum is a welterweight. Once again, he feels fantastic, Gumby. The best he's ever felt. So, yeah, every fighter does heading into the fight. Gastelum is 17-8 with one no contest, six knockouts, four submissions. He's been submitted twice, so he's pretty durable. 12-8 with one no contest in the UFC. He's won one of his last three and two of his last seven. Did win his last fight, surprised us and looked good in it. Used to fight at middleweight, 4-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and the champion of that season. Has missed weight twice officially. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.32 strikes per minute. He's at plus 100, so even money on him. Sean Brady, 15-1, three knockouts, four submissions. He's been knocked out once, 5-1 in the UFC. He lost his last fight via TKO, was a regional champion, used to fight at lightweight, inch height, inch reach, 1 year younger than Gastelum. Better striking stats, better grappling stats, and he's more active landing strikes. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.31 strikes a minute, minus 124. Give me Brady. He's going to bounce back here. I have no faith in Gastelum, even though he did look good in his last fight. Brady is better than him on the feet, better than him on the ground. I think Brady wins this fight.
I don't know necessarily that he's better than him on his feet. I'm starting, even though as I'm a big Sean Brady guy, I don't know that I'm ready to say he's better than him on the feet because Sean Brady has looked kind of sketchy at moments on the feet. You know, like go back to the Michael Chiesa fight. Man, did that give me some nightmares about Sean Brady and what potentially striking was going to happen. But I don't think it's enough for me to fade Sean Brady here. I think Brady's wrestling, like you said, is going to be good enough. And additionally, like one of the things I've always noted about Calvin Gastelum in fights with guys who are big, tough grinders like Sean Brady is, like, I don't know that he can defend the takedowns for more than 5 minutes. Like if Brady goes at him with a few takedowns and like starts to gas him, Gastelum might get away from a little bit of him and like land some strikes and look good in the first round. But I think when that second round rolls around, especially being down at welterweight where he's sucking down his weight even further, you know, let's go ahead and throw a prop bet in there. He's probably going to miss weight. you know, especially after announcing to the world that he feels great and the weight cut's going phenomenal. That's usually when the weight cuts goes worse. But like coming down to weight class, he already like struggled a little bit with cardio up at middleweight when that happened. You know, like it was a long time ago, but if you go back to his fight with Chris Weidman, I kind of see this as being that type of fight. He had a really good time on the feet in round one against Weidman. He stuffed a couple of Weidman's takedowns. And then round two came around and he just like, he couldn't stop it anymore. And Weidman's wrestling took over and Weidman put him in an arm triangle. I would not be surprised to see the exact same fight play out here with Sean Brady, where Gastelum makes us gasp for like a whole round and be like, oh damn, did we really mess up here? And then the second round rolls around and there's nothing left of him.
Yep. Yep. Gas tank could be an issue. That's something we don't worry about with Sean Brady or fighters out of his camp, right?
No. Daniel Gracie guys can go.
Yep. They can go. All right. Bantamweight. Here's a tough fight. Here's a tough fight to call. Bantamweights, Rob Font versus the debuting at Bantamweight, Davison Figueiredo. Tough fight to call, tough fight on the boards as well. Very, very close fight. Figueiredo, we'll tell you about him first. Daiko is the nickname. Dois de Guerra is the nickname. Figgy Smalls is the nickname. Which one's your favorite?
Oh, I like Figgy Smalls.
There you go. Figgy Smalls is the one we're going to go with then. He is 21-3-1. 9 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. So another very durable guy. 10-3-1 in the UFC. 2-time flyweight champion. This is his debut at Bantamweight. Loss, win, loss over his last 3 fights. Lost his last fight via TKO. He's not fought someone named Brendan Moreno since I think it was pre-pandemic, really. Let me check here. So last 4 fights have been Brandon Moreno. Alex Perez, November 2020 was the last time he fought someone not named Brandon Moreno. So this should be refreshing for him. 2012 pro MMA debut. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.41 strikes a minute. He's got better grappling stats than Font, plus 108. Font, 20-7, 20-7, 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted once. 10-6 in the UFC, 1-3 over his last 4, including losing his last fight. He has missed weight before. He's fight lightweight and at featherweight. 2011 pro MMA debut, 3 inches height, 3 inches of reach. So he's got a bit of size on Figueiredo, not surprisingly. He's more active landing strikes than Figueiredo is. He's been he's in the positive for strike differential, plus 2.01 strikes per minute. So very good number for him. Minus 136. All right, what to make of this fight? This is one that people are debating on in the Discord as well.
So a lot of people have been asking, what do we make about Davison Figueiredo coming up in weight class? And to be honest, I don't know the answer to that. Like, I can't sit here and say he's going to make a phenomenal bantamweight. There's just really no way of knowing. But here's the question I would like to pose to you. If you had to sit here and say the thing that Rob Font does best is, and fill in that blank, how are you answering that question?
Not get finished.
Yeah, I mean,
does that count?
He's durable. And I would say offensively, maybe.
Offensively, what is he best at?
Yeah. What is Rob Font best at offensively?
Grappling, I guess.
I mean, he's a good underrated wrestler. I was gonna say my offensive statement about Rob Font is like speedy striking. Like, he's fast
right.
with his striking. Is he particularly like one punch dangerous with his striking?
No.
Not, but he's really fast. And he's given a lot of people problems with just how fast and how elusive he is on the feet. Is he going to be faster than a flyweight? Is he going to be faster than Davison Figueiredo? Because I don't think he is. And not for anything, Figueiredo's got crazy power. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we've seen him finish a ton of people at flyweight. Now you're going to tell me he's going to get a chance to bulk up a little bit. He's not going to be like absolutely sucking the weight out of himself anymore. And at, you know, what is he, 34, 35? I mean, like, that's the perfect time to start doing that, letting his power play up. And I think the fact that he's moving up in weight, even if he's a little bit slower than he was before, he's still probably faster than most of the bantamweights. Like, he's probably still not a slow bantamweight. So I think he kind of does the things that Rob Font does better than Rob Font, right? He strikes a little faster. He's a little bit more dangerous. I don't know that I think Rob Font can grapple him. You know, Brandon Moreno did a little bit, but I tend to think Brandon Moreno is a little bit more jujitsu and wrestling based than Rob Font is. So yeah, I think I'm going to go with Figueiredo here as a dog. I don't feel great about it. Like, he won't be my like recommended dog of the week, but you got to imagine that he's going to be quicker.
Yeah. Figueiredo is my pick as well. I will definitely take a swing at him. On plus money, think he's obviously he has the power. He's gonna have the speed. I think he's a better grappler as well, or better on the mat than Font at the very least. So let's roll the dice on some plus money, a little plus money, but plus money nonetheless. All right, a couple other places we're gonna roll the dice on. Actually, it's not a risk to roll the dice on these places. These are sure things. One of them would be Underdog Fantasy. The first one I'm gonna tell you about. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long, NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football, and MMA. Don't forget about MMA. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. Gumby, you're on the spot again.
I'm going to take higher than on the receptions for CeeDee Lamb, Thursday Night Football.
Easy as that. You take higher or lower on a number that Underdog provides, and boom, win yourself some money. So there you go. That's Gumby's pick. Watch along, make your picks, maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. And we are brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool. Get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, we're up to the co-main event of the evening. A makeshift one just got put into place, what, about a week and a bit ago? It's lightweights, Jalen Turner versus Bobby Green. King Bobby Green to you. He's 31-14-1 with one no contest, 11 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted twice. 12-9-1 with one no contest in the UFC. He surprisingly won his past 2 fights, both via finish, one of them in the main event, his last fight. Another huge surprise there. He's got multiple YouTube championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 4-1 in Strikeforce. Used to fight at welterweight. He fought at a lot of weird weight classes too, like super lightweight. Like, he's been around so long that he was fighting at interesting weight classes that don't exist anymore, because he's been around since 2008. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes than Turner. He's very good strike differential numbers in the UFC, plus 2.49 strikes per minute. He outstrikes his opponent. That's very good. And this is a huge sample size for him as well. He's at plus 180. The books, they're not impressed. The tarantula, Jalen Turner, 13-7, 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. So he's finished all of his wins. He's been knocked out himself 3 times. He's taking this on short notice, about a week and a half or so. 6-4 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 5 straight. He's missed weight before. That is something that you may want to keep an eye on, especially him taking this fight on short notice. See how he looks on the scale, probably before you want to make picks on this fight. I used to fight up at welterweight, 1-0 on the Contender Series, 2-0 in Bellator, 1-0 in World Series of Fighting. 5 inches of height, 6 inches of reach over Green, 9 years younger than him. He's got better grappling stats. He's outstruck Green by 1.21 strikes per minute. He's at minus 230. Is this me? This is me, right? Yes. I'm going against my short notice stats. I'm taking Jalen Turner. I'm a Jalen Turner fan. That's not the only reason I'm taking him, but I think he's obviously way better than Bobby Green, way bigger than Bobby Green, way younger than Bobby Green. I just think he's better than him everywhere. Bobby Green probably is better at point fighting, striking, but Turner's got the power. Turner's got the size. Turner's got the grappling chops. I like him here. So he's my pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jalen Turner too. I am worried about the size thing, because he's so big and he's had issues with weight in the past. If this was a 5-round fight, I would probably pump the brakes a little bit on him here. But like, even if he gasses in the 3rd round, he should be banked on 2 rounds of just like having done way more damage than Bobby Green early. I also just think he's a finisher. Like, he's a natural born finisher. he's probably going to go in there and get a stoppage on Bobby Green. So, you know, like either I've seen him, you know, I bet him on the club and sub for, what was it, the Brad Riddell fight. Like I could see him doing that again. I could also see him just like, you know, dropping one of those hammers and finishing it with his hands. He's got a weird, a lot of rear naked chokes in his career. Not that that's necessarily like a direct path to victory on Bobby Green, but hey, I could see it here too. I'm just a little bit concerned about what this weigh-in looks like. So if you're on the Jalen Turner side, maybe wait and see what it looks like when he's on the scales.
Yep, I agree, as I said. All right, main event time. We're sticking with the lightweights. Beneil Dariush versus Armin Tsarukyan. Five-minute rounds. Going to tell you about Dariush first. 22-5-1. Five knockouts, eight submissions. He's been knocked out four times, submitted once. So he's been finishing all his losses. 16-5-1 in the UFC. 8-1 over his last nine. He got TKO'd in his last fight by former champ Charles Oliveira. Has missed weight as well. He's another guy who you got to keep an eye on with the weight. Regional champ, 2009 pro MMA debut. He's a multi-time world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. 3 inches of height on Tsarukyan. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.16 strikes per minute, plus 235. Armin Tsarukyan, hopefully this means our friend Ryan H. will pop back up in the Discord.
Shout out to Ryan H., even if he's not in the Discord.
Yes, shout out, because he says he still listens. Shout out to Ryan H. Hope things are going well for you now. Tsarukyan, what's his nickname, Gumby?
Oh, it's Akelots.
Yes, correct. 20-3, 20-3. 8 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once. Another durable man. 7-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight and 7 of 8. Won his last fight via TKO. He has missed weight as well. Keep an eye on that. Was a regional champion as well. Used to fight down at featherweight. 7 years younger than Dariush. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost 2 strikes a minute. He's at plus 1.91, minus 305. I was surprised by this line, how wide it was. Go ahead. Make your pick.
I was too, but I can't even find myself tempted by Beneil Dariush. You know what I mean? Like I like Beneil Dariush. I'm a fan of Beneil Dariush, but like is he going to take down Armin Tsarukyan? I don't think so. I don't think there's any chance he takes down Armin Tsarukyan. So if we're talking about a striking match, he's not going to win a striking match with Armin Tsarukyan. I think that's a nightmare matchup for him on the feet. And, I mean, Armin Tsarukyan grappled toe-to-toe with Islam Makhachev on short notice for his UFC debut and did a damn good job of it, right? Like, he scrambles with the best of them, does Tsarukyan. I just have a tough time imagining Dariush winds up with any top control, and if he doesn't wind up with any top control, he doesn't win this fight. So I think that's why we keep seeing this line get wider and wider and wider as the time goes, and I'm going Tsarukyan.
Yep, Tsarukyan is the pick as well for me. Way younger, which means something, far more durable than Dariush is. He doesn't have like your one punch knockout power, but he does have ground and pound knockout power, which is how I could see this fight ending if it hits the ground, because Dariush does have a questionable chin. But yeah, he's just younger version of Dariush, a more durable version of Dariush, and a more powerful striker. So give me Tsarukyan here. All right, let's recap, and then we will give you our fancy plays here. We have more consensus here than we did last episode. Tsarukyan, Turner, Figueiredo, Brady, Guida, I have Soriano, he has Stoltzfus. So that's the only one that we've disagreed on. So we were 5-6, Gumby.
Yeah, which is better than we said we were going to be.
Exactly. Okay, rocks, dogs, props, parlays, all that stuff. You are first up this week, so go ahead with your lock.
So for my lock, I've debated this one a little bit. I've been burned with female prospects, particularly on the early parts of the card before, but I'm still going Jamie Lynn Horth. I think this line,
that's the name I looked at.
Yeah. Even though the line has gotten a little bit out of control, right? Like if you could have gotten this, if I could have told you to take this on Sunday, man, was that the time to take it? Where it was basically pick 'em odds. I think that number's obviously way better. I still like Jamie Lynn Horth here. I think the way that she has a physicality advantage over Veronica Hardy is going to carry her here.
Yep. Yep. That is a good picker. I'm going to make my lock a short notice fighter. What do you think of that? Jalen Turner minus 230.
That's totally not your style, man.
I'm going against everything I believe in here, but yes, Jalen Turner is my lock. All right. Who's is your dog?
All right, hang on. I have so many dogs to choose from. Let me just like
you do.
I gotta quick scan these for which one. I don't love that one. Don't love that one. Let's go with let's go with the carpenter. I'll take Clay Guida. Let's take a big swing on an underdog.
Ooh,
here.
You are.
Yeah, right. And like the other ones, I all like, but I might squeeze some of them into some props later on that you'll hear about.
I'll make a coward play and I'll take Figueredo. Barely a dog, but a dog nonetheless, a +108. All right, what's your prop?
So for my prop, I'm going to go with Jakar Klose. I mentioned that he's one of my favorite picks on this card. He was actually going to be my other lock, but I already had him in this prop spot. I got him by decision. As much as I like him, he's not much of a finisher. He's got one finish in his UFC career. All of his other fights, even the losses, have gone. Oh, no, I guess he got a TKO loss, right? TKO loss to Beneil Dariush. And apart from that, like, everything's going to decisions. You can get him at +175 to win by decision. So if you take that submission and knockout out of the question, it's a pretty good one.
Good number. I'm taking Armin Zarukian via TKO or KO at +150. I see him finishing it on the ground with ground and pound here. So, all right. Horth, Turner, locks, Guida, Figueiredo, dogs, Klose, decision, Zarukian, TKO or knockout are the props. All right. Hungry Man Jong, Superfan Parlay. Go ahead.
All right. So to start it, I'm just going to go with a couple of dog KOs here. Ones that you don't like too, which is going to make you even happier, I think. Sure. So the first one I'm going to go with, Jared Gooden by knockout. So Jared Gooden, I mentioned it on the prelim show, big knockout power. If he forces Wellington Turman to stand with him, he's got one touch to knock out Wellington Turman, and you can get him at the knockout price +400, which is a big spot. I also mentioned that I think Cody Brundage could wear out Zachary Reese. Zachary Reese being a guy who has never gone more than one round. Cody Brundage being a guy who I believe in the good game planning of Cody Brundage today. I think as long as he drags him into deep waters, or hey, maybe even he just cracks him, because Eli Aronov was cracking Zachary Reese before he stuck his arm in an armbar intentionally. If he cracks Zachary Reese and hits him with a knockout, that one's 6-1. So you can pair those two together and get 34-1, +3,400, but also like just on their own or in some sort of round robin. Like I think those are really great values.
+3,400. Is that our biggest one that we've given out? I think it is.
I feel like I've probably given out something crazier at some point in time, but that's a pretty big one.
Gooden and Brundage via KO or TKO. Hit that, you get 34 times your money. All right. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. You can hit us up in the Discord if you want to chat. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord on Twitter, SGP and MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there and on Instagram. You can also comment on our YouTube. Subscribe and comment on our YouTube videos at MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. Gumby's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast, which will be in your feed as we speak. He's speaking to the green machine almost. The meme machine, Steve Garcia. And who else? Who's the other person I haven't listened yet?
Arian Young, who is headlining LFA on Friday.
All right. There you go. Make sure you listen to that. And my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Get in there, paid or free. Free subscription. You can still enter the Pick'em contest and win prizes for the UFC fights. And obviously, sportsgamblingpodcast.com and the Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Gumby, say bye to the people.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's Storytime Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.